Good morning. Welcome to First Presbyterian Church for those who are visiting with us today. If you will please refer to the back of your bulletin for our pastoral concerns and those who are on the mend, please keep those folks in your prayers as we go throughout the week. And just a reminder that the CE committee is meeting tomorrow at 4:30. Please join me in the responsive call to worship. O Lord, show us your unfailing love and fill us with your abundance and life. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss one another.
Thank you.
please join me in the prayer of confession, followed by a silent prayer of confession. Ever-giving God, you are more ready to hear than we are to pray. You wait for us, yet we rush to keep up with our own agendas. We confess that we fail to seek you prayerfully until we have reached the limits of our own abilities. Have mercy, O God, for the times that we have forgotten who we are as your children who depend upon you. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. Keep us perseverant. Help us to ask, seek, and knock so that we may receive the goodness and providence that you provide. Amen. Please accept the assurance of pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us in Jesus Christ. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Let me invite the kids to come on down and join me for a few moments on the steps. That's great. Come on down. It is great to see you this morning. I'm the new person around here, and my name is Pastor Steve. So let me meet y'all. Can you tell me all your names?
Chip.
And what's your Benjamin, Chip, and Benjamin?
William.
And William. Chip, Benjamin, and William. I'm Pastor Steve. It's fun to be able to be with you today. And can you tell what I've got here? Backpack. Very good. Good. Anybody here like hiking? Any hikers in the group? You ever been hiking? Yeah. Okay. This is my day pack. So when I'm out, this is for the day. This is the one that I take. And I think I still got some stuff in here. So let's see what's inside. So this is good stuff to take, I think, most of the time, if you're out on the trail.
14
minutes. Yeah, granola bar, need a little snack to go with that. Some water, it's important to keep water and hydrate, especially when it's this hot. It has been super hot, hasn't it? Anybody tell me what this is? Very good. This is an Appalachian Trail mat, and the great thing. I got this at a hiking shop, and can you feel it? It's not paper, right? So if it rains and it gets wet, it doesn't fall apart. You keep reading it, which is really helpful. Let's see. I think there's some other things in here. Compass, so you can tell where you're at. Yeah, you can tell which direction you're going, which helps you out with the map. And always be prepared. Good to have some paper on the trail. And this is my hiking stick. And it's great, especially when you're going down and stepping on rocks. So the reason why I was thinking about hiking today was that one of the things I really like about hiking is that it's quiet, right? If you get up on the mountain, it's quiet, it's beautiful, Nature reminds us that God has created everything that is, created you and me. It is very calm, isn't it? And so it's a great place to pray. It's a great place to talk to God. And Jesus went up on the mountain a lot to be alone by himself and to pray to his heavenly Father. He would take the disciples on the mountain and he would teach them to pray. And one of the things that Jesus taught the disciples about prayer is one of the prayers that we pray every Sunday called the Lord's Prayer. And what we're going to hear today is he also told a parable. And this parable about praying. So there was this friend who went to his neighbor's door late at night, midnight, when everybody was asleep, because he wanted a loaf of bread. And he was knocking on the door. And he just kept knocking. And his friend didn't want to come to the door because it was late and everybody's asleep. But he just kept knocking on the door until the friend finally came to the door and gave him a loaf of bread. And I think what Jesus was telling us was that we ought to always keep praying. We ought to always keep knocking. Always talk to God. The problem is sometimes it's hard to remember that. And so I want to show you what this is today. Do you know what that is? Yeah. Do you know what it's called? Yeah, you can use it for a keychain. I use one for a keychain too. It's called a carabiner, okay? And so if you're rock climbing, a good friend of mine named Byron taught me how to rock climb. He's a really good rock climber. And what you do is, so the face of the mountain, the rock, is like this. And at the top, you tie a rope to a rock or to a very, very sturdy tree. And the rope comes down to the bottom, okay? And then the rope you put through the carabiner, you've got a harness on, and the rope goes through the carabiner. And so if you slip, you know, you're using your fingers and your toes to climb the rock. If you slip, then you're still on the rope, and you don't fall down to the ground, which keeps you safe. It's really, really important. And my friend Byron said that he'd like to think of that rock at the top of the mountain that's so sturdy and strong as God, our Heavenly Father, and the rope as Jesus, who holds on to us, and the carabiner that keeps us on that rope as our faith, our trusting in Jesus. So I like these carabiners because they help me to remember. They help me to remember to live by faith and to pray. And so I want to give you one today. You like the blue one? Okay. Got a red and a green. Green and red. Got one more, I think. Red or blue? Blue. So, if Jesus told us to keep praying, here's a good way to remember. The neat thing about this, you can put it on your belt loop and snap it on, and so it's there. Or at school, you can put it on your backpack. And when you see that, you can remember that God is with you, and you can always talk to God, okay? Perfect. That works great. All right, well, let us bow our heads and say a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we can always turn to you in prayer. You are always with us. Help us to keep being people who pray to you, for we pray in your name. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Eternal God, our understanding of the scriptures depends upon the light which your Spirit gives us for seeing and knowing. Let your Holy Spirit be at work within and among us this day. Then may the seeds of your word in us beat fruit in our lives and our word. Amen. The first scripture lesson today is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 12. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, Continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead.
Our gospel lesson for this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. Let us listen for God's word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asked for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Every year when the National Pew Religious Survey having to do with American religion comes out, it always shows that an incredible percentage of Americans report that they pray. The survey inevitably shows that over 90% of the population says that it prays. Actually, I do not doubt this. The most natural prayer that comes to mind is, "God help me out of this mess," kind of prayers. Yet a consistent prayer life is something that is not quite so natural. And it takes time and perseverance. Many folks in the church, many faithful folks, often feel like their prayer life is not quite what they would like it to be. And we find some help in our gospel reading this morning. Today's reading from Luke shows us one of the numerous examples of Jesus' teaching about prayer. Jesus modeled prayer for his disciples. He retreated to mountaintops and quiet places to be alone for extended times of prayer. The disciples watched Jesus withdraw and take time alone, but not until this point in the gospel, when the disciples asked him, did Jesus teach them how to pray. He taught them what we've come to call the Lord's Prayer. He taught the disciples what to pray, which shows us that prayer is a learned discipline as well as a natural conversation with God. We have become accustomed to thinking of prayer as simply conversation, and that's a good thing. Christians need to not be scared away from prayer because they may not be able to say long, flowery prayers like pastors with big black robes on Sunday morning. Prayer is conversation with God. But at the same time, Jesus also shows us that there's a content for our prayers. The hallmark of the Lord's Prayer is simplicity. What should we pray for? Jesus taught these things: daily bread, forgiveness, mercy, and guidance from temptation, away from temptation. It's a very simple and modest prayer. The Lord's Prayer keeps us focused on the most important things and steers us away from overcomplicating spiritual matters. There's a 4-year-old boy who attended a Methodist church with his family. And of course, in Methodist tradition, the Lord's Prayer asks for forgiveness of trespasses instead of debts. So the boy would say the Lord's Prayer at night before going to bed with hands folded one night, his mother overheard him saying, "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." The Lord's Prayer is simple. It is a model prayer. It gives us structure and format for our prayers. But immediately following this prayer, we get a description of Christian attitude for prayer. What kind of disposition should we bring with us as we pray? Should we be bold or fearful? Should we be optimistic or pessimistic? Should we be casual or rigid in our prayers? And in order to illustrate the manner and attitude that we should bring to our prayers, Jesus told a story. It sort of went like this. The story is about three friends, and it's hard to keep track of these three friends, so I'll call them friend one, two, and three. Friend one has been asleep for an hour because it's already midnight. The children have been put to sleep. The doors have been locked. His family, indeed the whole town, were not going to move until morning came. Then friend two knocks on the door. Friend two arrives from another town later than he expected and gave no warning to friend one. When friend one awakes and opens the door, he is surprised to find this unexpected guest, but he's also embarrassed because he has no bread to give to his hungry traveling friend. The hospitality expectations in this culture required food for the person who had been on a journey. There were no 24-hour convenience stores or fast food restaurants, and making bread was a big project. There is nothing that friend one could do to whip up a meal for friend two. Friend one knows that he has to go find some bread at midnight, and he decides to go to his most reliable neighbor, friend number three. So friend one knocks on friend three's door, and any late night call always brings the fear that something bad or tragic has happened. So when friend three sees that friend one only wants a loaf of bread, he tells his buddy to get a life and go back to bed. He was not going to wake his whole family up. "Call me in the morning," he says. Now what happens next is a little surprising. Friend three shuts the window and goes back to bed. Friend one continues obstinately to knock on the door, and friend three ignores it. But friend one is banging so loudly that the kids are waking up, and in fact, the whole town is starting to wake up with the noise. "What is going on?" shouts the next door neighbor. Friend one is still pounding on the door, aggravating and annoying everyone as he is determined to get a loaf of bread for his friend. So finally, friend three loses interest in this battle of wills. He goes into the kitchen, retrieves a loaf of bread, opens his door, and gives the bread to friend one. And Jesus said, this is the manner, this is the attitude with which you should pray. It's a surprising point that Jesus made. It reminds us that our assumptions about Jesus need to be sharpened by the actual Jesus that we encounter in the scriptures. But if this parable is a surprise, we should note that it's very much in line with the other teachings from Jesus on the topic of prayer. Jesus told another parable about prayer, about a woman, a widow, who continually badgered a judge. She just kept at the judge demanding justice for her case. And the judge in this parable was corrupt and unwilling to give the widow justice in her case. But because the widow was so tenacious, the judge finally relented and gave in to her request. And in that parable, Jesus' point was the same. Be persistent in prayer. Persevere and continue in prayer. Be stubborn. keep at it. That was the prayerful advice that Jesus gave to his disciples. Now, the reason why Jesus told so many parables is because no one parable alone explains everything. A parable gives us a glimpse into one part of a bigger picture. So in these parables, Jesus was not implying that God was like a corrupt judge. And Jesus was not teaching that God was like an uncompassionate neighbor who had to be embarrassed in front of the whole town before he'd give up one loaf of bread. Rather, the focus, the one glimpse that Jesus was trying to give in the parable was one thing, and that was the persistence of the friend in the parable. It was the persistence that he wanted for us in faith and in the Christian life. Jesus ended his teaching by saying, "If you who are evil know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him?" God's not like the grudging neighbor. God is not like the unjust judge. God is gracious, waiting to provide for those who seek him, ready to receive with love those who turn to him. So we ask, seek, knock, and God will supply, the passage says. God will supply what? God will supply what we want. God will supply what we wish. Rather, as the old hymn meditating on the 23rd Psalm says, "My shepherd will supply my need." God supplies our needs as we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a simple and modest teaching on prayer. And if we stop to think about it, it's actually very good news. Because let's admit it, have all of the things that we have wanted in our lifetimes been what was best for us? Do we give our children whatever they want? We know as parents that genuine love requires us to take the often difficult path of providing what is best, not just what is desired. And that's the image that Jesus is painting for us in this parable. He says, "What father among you, if his child asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" None of us. But how often does the child ask for a fish or ask for vegetables or vitamins? God is our heavenly parent who provides for us in ways that meet us where we are most deeply in need and fulfills us in our most important spiritual longings. We do not always understand, we do not always fully see, yet as we persist, as we continually turn our attention back to God in prayer, we do see more. This kind of persistent prayer helps us to understand more and reveals to us the truth that God is good and God is faithful. Of course, prayer does not always produce what we are seeking, but it does, over time, draw us closer to God and grant us a greater experience of his grace. Maybe you've heard the story about the farmer and the rabbi, a story that comes from the rabbinic tradition of Judaism. It is a tale of a devout Jewish peasant farmer and his rabbi. It was the night of the Passover. And of course, there was no work to be done on the Sabbath, but the farmer still had so much left to be done before the observance of the Passover. He was rushing to finish his fields in order to go to the holy services, but finally the sun dropped before he had finished, leaving the fields in shadows. No travel was permitted because it was the beginning of the Sabbath, so the farmer took off his coat, rolled it into a bundle as a pillow, and prepared to spend the night in the field. The next day, the rabbi spotted the farmer, and the rabbi wanted to know where he had been and why he had missed the holy services of the Passover. "Oh, rabbi, it was terrible," the the farmer said. I was stuck in my fields after the sun fell, and I had to spend the night there. Well, said the rabbi, I hope that you at least recited your prayers. The farmer replied, that was the worst of it. I could not remember a single prayer. Aggravated, the rabbi said, well, then what did you do for the holy evening? And the farmer responded, I just continued to say the alphabet over and over and over again. And I prayed that God would rearrange the letters into something that would serve his holy purposes. I love that story because it reminds us that prayer is not about getting magical words right, but about directing ourselves to God and entrusting ourselves to his care. Jesus taught us to pray with persistence. I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We must return again and again to God in prayer. It's not easy. There's no quick answers. There are no magic pills. It's like the Christian life itself. It is the full and abundant life. It is rich with meaning and purpose. But this does not mean that it is not without its share of difficulty and need for perseverance. A number of years ago, an elderly woman named Julia walked into my office, and she handed me a small, smooth stone. She asked me to pray for her and for her family. A grandchild had been through a series of very difficult challenges, and I suspected that the smooth stone was a tangible way for me to remember her prayer request, and I've kept that stone for some time. I later learned that when Julia was a young mother, her first child had been diagnosed with leukemia, and they did not know whether he would live or not. At a young age, this rattled Julia quite naturally. And her son's treatment was long and difficult. The first year, she simply tried to weather the storm, grit her teeth together. But then she described the experience of being so overwhelmed and sensing that so much was out of her control that she needed to start praying in a more profound way. And over time, prayer became an integral part of her life. Of course, it did not solve everything, but it helped her to see things in a different light and to experience challenges in a brand new way. And she has done this for over a lifetime. She still has her son in her life and a profound gratitude for him. A number of years ago, after she retired, she went to a lay pastor's school of the presbytery, and she used this training to volunteer as a chaplain a couple of days a week at the hospice center in her community. And she goes there and she sits with people and listens to them and prays for them. Ultimately, we do not change God with our prayers. In and through our asking, seeking, and knocking, God lovingly changes us. God shapes us and molds us, and never more directly than through the intimacy of time spent in prayer. Perhaps God takes our rough edges and our jagged experiences, and over time, through the working of the Spirit, smooths them out, making us into the people that God has created us to be. We discover through prayer more and more that we are God's beloved daughters and sons. So may God grant us the persistence and the prayerful perseverance to live as his beloved children. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand together as we confess the faith of the church, saying the Apostles' Creed. I I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our next hymn is number 172, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. With gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Please be seated. Let us pray. God of wonder, we offer you these humble gifts, signs of your goodness and mercy. Receive them with our gratitude that through us all people may know the riches of your love in Christ Jesus. Amen. Friends, let me ask you to be seated. Have to confess a pastoral goof up in forgetting on a Sunday when I was preaching about prayer, forgetting to put the line for the pastoral prayer. There may be a sermon illustration in that faux pas sometime. So let us pray. Eternal God, you alone are the fountain of life. You are the deep resource of our spirits, the river of life ever flowing. When often we feel tired and depleted, we turn to you once again. We thank you for the multitude of blessings in our lives, for food to eat, for homes to repair to, for relationships to nurture, for the gifts of family, for the beauty of summer. For these and so many more, hear our gratitude and thanksgiving, gracious God. You provide for us and so much more. Your faithful presence in our lives reminds us why we are here, to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. Jesus taught us to pray, and yet we worry sometimes whether we pray often or well enough. Help us to trust that our prayer life is simply the extension of our relationship with you. Our prayers are not merely another thing to add to a to-do list. Help us, O Lord, to experience prayer as a way of life, an integrated part of who we are as your disciples. When our endurance runs short, let your Spirit empower us to be people who persevere by finding strength outside of our own limited reservoirs of ability and energy. Guide us, O God, in this new week. Lead us by your Spirit. Give us the wisdom so that simplicity would mark our lives. Help us not to add too many things to do or to accomplish that we might forget attending to what is most important. Hear our prayers for the world which you have created, where there is so much confusion. Add voices and wills of clarity, where there is often hatred and violence. Strengthen people of love and healing, where there is isolation. Inspire neighbors to reach out and connect and share kindness. Hear our prayers for Danville, for this church, and for all churches in this community. Hear our prayers for those at special time of need, and for those who are a part of this body of Christ, and for all those in this larger community who are hurting or in need. Now we join together as Christ taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 371, Lift High the Cross. Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.